Welcome to the second episode of SinoAI Insight. Over the past 2 years, discussions about artificial intelligence between China and the United States have increasingly been shaped by the language of strategic competition, chip restrictions, export controls, technological decoupling, and the race for frontier AI capabilities. Yet at the same time, AI is also creating shared risks that neither country can manage alone, including cybersecurity risks, misuse by non-state actors, military escalation, and the challenge of maintaining human control over increasingly capable systems. Recently, US President Donald Trump paid a successful visit to China, and both leaders emphasized the importance of maintaining a constructive relationship of strategic stability. Against this backdrop, the agreement to resume governmental dialogue on AI has attracted significant international attention. This development raises several important questions. Can AI dialogue help stabilize US-China relations? What role can Track 2 exchanges play when official trust remains limited? And can dialogue create a more predictable environment amid technological competition and restrictions? Today, we are very fortunate to be joined by three distinguished guests. Mr. Yao Xu, Secretary General of Center for Global AI Innovative Governance and Associate Professor at Development Institute of Fudan University. Professor Lu Chuanyin, Vice Dean of the School of Political Science and International Relations at Tongji University. And Mr. Fu Hongyu, Director of the AI Governance Center and the Data Economy Center of Alibaba Research Institute. Thank you all for joining us. Resumption of governmental dialogue on AI comes shortly after both leaders emphasized the importance of strategic stability in China-US relations. Traditionally, strategic stability was mostly associated with nuclear deterrence and military balance, but now AI is increasingly entering this conversation. So I would like to ask our three guests, from your perspective, what is the broader significance of restarting AI dialogue at this moment? Professor Yao Xu.
I'm very honored to be here to discuss with the most distinguished experts in China right now. And we know the meeting between the two leaders attracted a lot of attention, and actually they achieve a lot of achievements right now, especially in the era of AI. Actually, in the past of days, so we talk about a lot like the strategic stability. But back to the old times, maybe they focused more on the nuclear threats and maybe military balance and the frameworks like that. But today, I think the artificial intelligence is changing this framework very fast, especially like the Frontier Institute, like Anthropic. Their models are quite good. Actually, maybe not just good, they're brilliant, right? And the ability of the models from Anthropic, like the cloud, is rising very fast. And we noted that the missiles and some kind of the very frontier models has some kind of the threat to the existing military cyber and sensitive areas. And the risks are rising day by day. And maybe we have to face the threat from the AI system and the intention from the different countries. There's a risk to be a misunderstanding and to set up the enemies from each other. That is not a good thing for not just China, US, but to the whole world. So I think the AI dialogue between the two of the most leading countries itself has some very important meaning. That is risk management tool. And by the communication between the two leaders, the two governments and the two countries team who have the expertise on technology and policy, we can try to make sure both sides aware of their technical safeguards and the bottom of line. That would be helpful to handle the risks and maybe the misunderstanding by the models and system with maybe more practical ways to do that. And the most important thing I figure out is the confidence between the two countries. AI is something very technical, but also have everything to do with policymaking. If the two countries can achieve something based on the dialogue, maybe this confidence can be applied to some other areas. Maybe the industry and the scholars between the two countries, they're going to say, okay, we have the confidence to communicate and we have the platform to communicate to get some arrangement between the two sides. Professor Xiaotian.
We will talk about this confidence building later. It seems that you agree that AI dialogue can play a very stabilizing role today. So my question towards Professor Lu Chuanyin, I think in the military domain, AI may increasingly affect intelligence analysis, early warning systems, autonomous systems, and command support. So which of these developments concern you most from a strategic stability perspective? And also my question is, what is the broader significance of restarting AI dialogue at this moment? Professor Lu, please.
Thank you for your question. And I think these two questions, from the military perspective, you know, the strategic stability is more about the nuclear command and control system. So we are now very concerned about the integration of the AI into the early warning system and the command and control systems. The reason is simple. There are the areas closest to crisis decision making. If the AI is used in intelligence analysis or battlefield assessment, the mistakes can still be corrected by human judgment. But if AI is deeply embedded in early warning and command system, the consequences of error may be much more serious. So, for example, if the AI system misreads signals, exaggerates threats, or produces some mistake warnings, in a crisis, the decision makers are already under the great pressures, right? If the AI system provides a wrong assessment, it will push leaders to make faster and more aggressive decisions. We have doing a lot of the scenario exercises of this case. This is the most important one for the AI and the warning systems. Another concern is the speed. You know, the AI can greatly accelerate the military operations. So they may reduce the time available for human reactions, diplomatic communications, and crisis management. But we know strategic stability depends on the time, right? On this mechanism, we give the time for this mechanism to resolve the problem, de-escalate some of the situations. But if the AI greatly reduces the time for the decision making, I think it will easy to escalate the situations. So I think the principle is quite clear that the two leaders from China and the US to make agreement that the nuclear command and control system should in the hand of the human beings. The problem is how should we implement these principles. So I think that go back to your early question about the dialogue. So I think the dialogue provides a chance for the team of both sides to find a pathway to implement the previous agreement. That is very important for the strategic stability. Yeah, that's my answer to your question.
Thank you, Professor Lu. So to Mr. Fu Hongyu, I really wanted to know more from the industry perspective. Does dialogue help create a more predictable environment for companies, even if competition continues?
Yes, indeed. I think you are touching on a great question. I think from industry perspective, the value of the dialogue will be eliminating to lower down the risks of policy accidents. Because right now, I think for industry or companies, the challenges are not inherently about the competition itself. It's about the uncertainties around the policy making, like the restrictions on exports and on the list issues and on the cross-border data flow. I don't think the dialogue itself will kind of reduce competition, but it will make the rules of the competition more transparent and more predictable. And thus make sure that the industries on both sides can understand each other about the policy orientation, about the policy environment, and the future policy rules that is going to promulgate. So I think if we can promote this kind of a policy making clarification in this dialogue, actually it will have a substantial impact to ease the burden on companies that is operating globally, especially for AI companies. Of course, I want to emphasize that we do not expect that the competition will be eased by the dialogues per se, but I think it will kind of reduce the possibilities that a sudden change in the attitude of policy or the kind of unexpected policy making in the long run.
And also more on this direction, in your view, are there still areas where also Chinese and American technology communities can cooperate pragmatically despite all these kind of tensions and the misunderstandings or competition?
Yes, I would always refer to the notion that the Chinese government has been saying that AI safety, that we can cooperate, and AI safety is a global public good. For example, I think the two distinguished speakers mentioned about the AI safety of our frontier models, because those safety concerns and the externalities created by unsafe AI models as well as their applications go beyond the boundaries of a single nation state. So what we have been doing is that we want to create a common understanding about the safety of the AIs, not only the safety about frontier models, but also about the AI applications like AI agents, or for example, in the future, embodied AI as well. Of course, we want to have a mutual recognition mechanism that makes sure that AI safety testing and the evaluation can be done for one stop. Means that if we've been doing this in China, the US will recognize that, and preferably other countries will recognize that as well. So we're kind of calling for a mutual understanding of AI safety and more investment in AI safety researches, and also putting more safety guardrails on AI. Also, we want to have a more uniform, harmonized AI safety evaluation system. And the second part is that we have a common understanding that open environment for AI development and application is crucial, because we should not concentrate the AI power into one or several companies or frontier labs. You have to make sure that the AI technology and its application are inclusive to all the humankind, not only to China, US, but all the countries on the Belt Road countries and South countries as well. So we want to make sure that what kind of governance mechanism we are looking at when we talk about open source AI, and we want to emphasize on the importance of open source AI that is contributing to the inclusiveness of AI development, to the progress of the technology and its diffusion, also on its contribution on safety, where the open source AI actually makes sure people understand AI, builds more trust in AI. I think that these two parts that can leave room for future cooperation.
Right. Yes, you have pointed out that we should have a mutual understanding on AI safety and also about the open environment for AI development, as well as the governance mechanisms. All these are possible subjects for future dialogues. We also noticed that one important point here is that the strategic stability, we know that the two leaders have already agreed on the relationship of strategic stability, but the strategic stability today is no longer only about the traditional military balance and AI, as all of you mentioned, that is increasingly affecting crisis management, industrial competitiveness, technological trust, and also the perceptions of intent between major powers. So I know that all three of you have participated in many dialogues, track two dialogues in different ways. And I think although during periods when official dialogues slowed down or even halted, the track two exchanges among scholars, think tanks, and industry experts continued. So I would like to move the topic to more about our track two discussions. There are critics saying that all these track two dialogues are just talking. So I want to ask you, from your own experience, what tangible value do these dialogues actually provide? Maybe Professor Yao, your point, please.
Actually, I cannot agree with the talking point from the criticism, because the value of track two dialogues often does not just manifest in immediate policy changes. Because if we do an empirical study, we have to know what is start, what is effect, and what is the logic between that. But it's very hard to review the black box of each country's policymaking process, right? So it's rather than in a continuous accumulation of cognitive understanding, it helps researchers, policymakers, the industry industry experts on both sides build an accurate grasp of each other's real thinking rather than guessing blindly through media reports and political declarations. So I think it has a very important value, not just the talking.
Based on your attendance of some of the Track 2 discussions, what kind of misunderstandings about China or the United States are most frequently corrected through these exchanges? Can you give some examples?
I think the most common misunderstanding from US and many other developed countries is the oversimplification of the other sides. Like US sometimes perceives China's AI development as purely state-driven and maybe lacking market involvement. But actually, we have to keep telling the US friends that it's not true. It's not true because the internal logic of the development of China's AI industry and the logic of the governance is more driven by the ecosystem built both from industry and the policymakers and the scholars. They have the ecosystem, not just driven by the government. I think this one is very interesting stuff because after communication, they're going to say, most of the superstars in China in the area of AI comes from the market, not from the state-owned company. That is a very strong proof, especially when they talk about DeepSeek, Minimax, and many other brilliant open source models here in China. They're going to say, okay, it's a contribution from the market. I think that is a value from the Track 2 dialogue can contribute.
Yes, that's a very good point. Now, Professor Lu Chuanyi, I know you have participated in Tsinghua Brookings AI and International Security Dialogue for many rounds. And in periods of low political trust, as we know what is going on between China and the US, so do epistemic communities and Track 2 networks become even more important right now? What is your opinion on that?
Thank you very much for your question. I think myself have been engaged in a lot of the Track 2 dialogues. You mentioned about the AI dialogue and also other cyber and space dialogues. I think the Track 2 played a very important role for the government to solve the issue. When you look at the official levels, both the government and the government officials, they are facing a lot of the political constraints. And also, when we engage in the artificial intelligence, cybersecurity, this kind of the complicated issues, the effectiveness of the Track 1 dialogues always been challenging. So that's the reason why we have the Track 2 dialogue. The Track 2 dialogue has a lot of advantages. For example, the atmosphere, the environment mostly are very relaxed. So it encourages people to sharing. And also, in some sense, it's not that sensitive, right? In this Track 2 dialogue, we can discuss some sensitive issues. But most importantly, I think we're targeting this artificial intelligence. It's very complicated and broad. So Track 2 dialogue can provide a lot of the research questions. In the Track 2 dialogue, you just mentioned the Tsinghua and Brookings, actually engaged a lot of the academic research and policy research. This is a long-term research, sometimes jointly. So the result of this research is very important to support Track 1 dialogue. So for that reasons, we need to realize that the limitation of the government in AI dialogue is, if we make a comparison, previously for the traditional topics, the government know everything, right? They know the question, they know the answer. It's just about the negotiation. But right now, in the emerging domains, the government do not monopolize the knowledge. They don't have the question and answer. So for that reason, I think the Track 2 dialogue played a very foundational role to support the government from two sides to engage the official dialogues.
Yes, yes. Talking about these domains of emerging technologies, and I know that sometimes terminology itself often becomes a challenge because it is new and not everyone can have a good understanding of them. So in terms of AI governance, we know that concepts like autonomy, meaningful human control, or AI-enabled decision-making, and those concepts are very important. The Track 2 dialogue you have been engaged with has a focus on a shared vocabulary. So I want to know from your perspective, how important is Track 2 dialogue in building this shared vocabulary?
I agree very much about the vocabulary, the terminology you just mentioned, because it's an emerging topic. Both sides have different understanding on some very fundamental concept. So to unify the understanding of the terminology will greatly help two sides to find the common understanding of these complicated issues. It is terminology, but it reflects the two-side understanding of some complicated phenomena. So for the unified terminology itself, it's not easy work, right? It needs a huge amount of joint research to find the common understandings. This is one side. But on the other hand, terminology itself is not that sensitive and easy to make consensus. And this achievement will help for the future dialogues. So we already see the successful example of the nuclear. So the nuclear dialogues are originally studied from the terminology. And the cybersecurity, the same thing. So that reason, I think the Tsinghua Brookings work on the terminologies will be very important for the future. More meaningful and important dialogues is played a foundational role. Thank you.
Okay, now my question towards Mr. Fu Hongyu. I know industry experts are increasingly participating in governance discussions and also all this kind of track to dialogues. So what unique perspectives can companies contribute?
Yes, I think more and more track to dialogues, they are formatting kind of a multi-stakeholder way to involve more experts from the industry and from the, for example, standard making organizations as well. I think it's very important. I totally agree with Professor Lu's concept that actually right now with respect to AI, actually nobody really monopolizes the knowledge. You have to pull in more resources, more understandings from each and every aspect to try to shape the whole big picture about AI development, about AI risk, to find the best solution about AI governance. So I think, although we have this kind of critic saying that, well, track tools are just talk, I think talks are very important to shape the issue about what we really care about, because AI development and the things around AI safety are very dynamic right now. Things are changing very fast. And I've been participating in the same track two dialogues that's been 2 years ago and this year. We are talking about totally different things. So I think this kind of the track two can provide the very dynamic view on what we've been looking at about the issues with AI and provide a kind of a solutions in a long-term manner. And we can make policy projections to look at the histories of all the track twos. I think this is very important. Of course, industry can contribute to this dynamic image a lot because industry are on the first line and they understand the technology and they understand, or maybe not understand, but they can sense the future about the right and wrongs about technology. And most importantly, they can provide practical solutions. So I think that will to involve industry experts in the track tools or in other kind of international dialogues creates a kind of a testing ground for whether the policies or the outcomes can be practically implemented. So I think it's very important. Also, it provides a cost side of the policies because industries will be ultimately who are going to bear the burden of compliance, and they are very sensitive about that. So they can provide a stress test for the industry when the policies are being discussed and look at the responses of the industry participants. So I think it's very important that in track tools, they bring the expert knowledge, the firsthand experience and observations from the industry, and also to utilize the testability environment of the industry to make sure that, well, the whatever be reaching on the table can practically be implemented. Also, we can also look at the cost side of the implementation. What will cost the industry? What will cost innovation? So we'll have a better cost and benefit analysis when we talk about the policy rationale.
Yes, you did talk about the kind of contributions that industries can make to this dialogue. But let's reverse the question. I would also like to know what kind of benefits can these dialogues bring back to the industry? For example, can this dialogue help prevent further escalation or reduce uncertainty for industry?
Yes, totally agree. I think it brings a lot of benefit to the industry. And to have a ground where the industry can participate in this kind of discussion with the counterpart from other countries, from the US or from Europe, other countries, also with the policymakers, with the professors from the think tank, actually broaden the view of the industry. They have a better understanding about the future policy environment. I think it's very important. On the practice level, it creates a lot of benefit as well. Because, for example, recently we are talking about the standard setting that maybe leave some room for international cooperation. And in Track 2, we bring this kind of a standard setting. Experts on both sides look at the issues. Now we find that on the ISO, IEC level, there are a lot of discussion and a lot of cooperation that is happening among the industries on both sides. We are agreeing on the same definition about the harms created by generative AI. We are agreeing on how to test and evaluate this kind of risks. And we may also have further agreement on how to mitigate those kind of risks. I think it's this kind of a mutual understanding and cooperation on the standard setting level on the international plan is very important. And second thing is that actually we can both contribute to the idea that safety as a public good, because on the US side, their frontier labs, they focus on a lot of issues that we care about as well, but we may lack this kind of expertise. For example, we care about the child's abusive use of AI for emotional companionship, but on both sides, we are looking at the psychological impact of this kind of AI companionship to the younger people. And of course, in China, we're looking at the impact to elderly people as well. I think this kind of our understandings and what we've been accumulated in the process of the knowledge can be shared among the industry practitioners to have a kind of a benchmark for our future work, either for standards or for safety requirements or very specific compliance requirements. So I think, of course, it creates a lot of benefit for industry to participate in Track 2. And we really appreciate this kind of opportunities to participate in future Track 2.
Well, great. Thank you for those important input. So, Professor Yao Xu, I want to go back to you. As we see that now more and more Track 2 dialogues are now emerging. So do you think these Track 2 dialogues are becoming more institutionalized in AI governance compared to previous technology issues?
Yes, the high risks of AI are forcing Track 2 dialogues to evolve from maybe just the talking or abstract exchanges into institutionalized deep engagements, especially compared to early cyberspace governance or traditional sci-tech cooperation. AI technology involves at a very fast pace, bringing multidimensional and immediate risks. And consequently, Sino-US Track 2 exchanges are demonstrating a clear trend towards institutionalization. This institutionalization is primarily reflected in the construction of a shared vocabulary and governance framework. The definitions of core concepts, such like the meaningful human control or autonomous system, they are all typically hammered out over long-term, high-frequency, closed-door sessions within Track 2 expert circles. So once a technical consensus is forged, these concepts gradually feed into official discourse and formal negotiation agendas. So I think the institutionalized reserve makes Track 2 an inevitable pathfinder or some pioneer for official policy. It's necessary and it's institutionalized, and I think this trend will continue and keep going.
Thank you. So now I would like to look forward, and I want to ask all of you, if we look ahead 3 to 5 years, are you optimistic or pessimistic about the future of China-US AI cooperation? And if you are optimistic, what would success for China-US AI dialogue actually look like 3 years from now? I would ask maybe first from Professor Lu.
Okay, I'm not sure whether I'm optimistic or pessimistic about the future of the cooperation. It's difficult, right? So the situation is both sides look at AI as a strategic technologies. No, it's related to national security, economic benefit. And so the competitions are there, right? But the two presidents mentioned about the constructive strategic stability, right? Where the cooperation may be difficult, but the red line or bottom line is stability, right? So I think of looking forward for 5 years or 3 years, I think there are some areas we should make some achievement. For example, first about the common interest, right? China and the US are leading the AI development globally. They should undertake the responsibility of the AI safety, people just mentioned a lot, and also international security, like the nuclear, biochemical, and the radioactive. This proliferation of the AI plus these international security problems will cause huge risk for international security. I think China and the US have a lot of the frontier models to regulate or cooperate, take the effective regulations on the frontier model and international security. Well, very helpful for the proliferation of the international security problems. So, second, I think bilaterally, we talk about the stability. The stability means a situation, right? We will have the conflict, but we will go back to normal, right? How to back to normal? We need mechanisms. Traditionally, in armed control domain, we have the confidence building measures. We have the crisis management. There are a lot of the mechanism help the big powers to stabilize their relations in front of a lot of the conflict, crisis. But in AI domain, so far, we do not have the dialogue between two sides. The first step, I think it's important to establish some important mechanism. We can learn some wisdom from the traditional armed control, but we also be innovative, right? To, for example, we can combine track one and track two dialogue, or we can involve a lot of the non-state actors and the tech communities to join the dialogue to establish more diversified mechanism to play our foundation to stabilize bilateral relations. And lastly, if I'm optimistic, I'm looking forward for the more industrial cooperation in the future. So the artificial intelligence development is leading by the industry. I think the industry knows the problems and they have the answers. If we have more industrial corporations, we will not just make them to contribute the cooperation of two sides, but also I think it can have a joint. Sometimes if the cooperation are increased, the interest will also increase. Then we give people reason to stabilize the competition. So I think these are something China-US should do in the future through the dialogue. Thank you.
Okay. You have pointed out that the one important expectation for the governmental dialogue of AI is to build important mechanisms for confidence building measures, but also crisis management, trying to achieve strategic stability. And then talking about industrial cooperation, I would like to ask Mr. Fu about what is your view on that? What are you optimistic or pessimistic about this future cooperation?
Yeah, I think it's a very tough question to answer. But from industry, I think at least the restart of the negotiation is beyond its huge significance on diplomacy. Actually, it sends a very strong signal to the industry that the competition and cooperation are not antagonistic against each other. We can compete, and at the same time, we can cooperate. I think we have shared the sense from the industry that the AI supply chain actually is global. Actually, the design of the compute and the manufacture and the implementation and also the building of the models and the utilizing of the models, building up applications, and also the final transformation of AI power into productivity will happen across the globe. And we are looking forward to the new division of labor in the AI era globally. I think this is a trend. I think this is lays the ground for future cooperation. I think AI cooperation will not only happening on AI, the cooperation will be happening on AI's application where AI diffuses into all the domains of a domestic industry, of the economy, international trade, and whatsoever. So I think when we reach that stage, actually, there leaves more room for cooperation with AI. Of course, it's not only on the topic of AI. So actually, I have the sense that nobody can actually independently own the supply chain of AI, or put it in another way, having one country own the supply chain will be not a good idea for industry or for the global economy in the future. So I think what we have been having the signal actually sends a very good illustration that even in the most fierce competitive area, we can have the kind of a minimum standard for cooperation and coordination. Otherwise, I think the competition will be out of control because the loss or the absence of the rules or the standards. So I think this sends a very positive signal to the industry on that. But of course, also I think each and every country, they will have their own sovereignty. They have their own power to regulate AI. They have their own attitude, their own value set on the hierarchy of risks and how to prioritize their resources to fight against those risks. I think those things will be room for individual countries to consider. But the industry can really participate into this kind of a more individualized regulatory framework by laying down, like I mentioned, technological standards and also the safety requirements for the models, and find a more harmless way to meet the individual states' regulatory environment in the long run. So I think the restart of the dialogue actually creates a very strong signal to the industry that in the future, there will be more room for cooperation and the industry will move to the international plan more responsibly to take care of the needs of each and every country's own need.
Thank you. Industry input is essential for AI governance. I totally agree. Now, Professor Yao, you're also working in the Center for Global AI Innovative Governance of Fudan University. And I want to ask you, will the China-US dialogue make contribution to this AI innovative governance?
Yeah, for sure. I think that is a quite important and fundamental thing to think about, because back to 2 years before, I suppose, right? It's 2024 or 2023. Back to the Biden administration, the two countries initiated the first round of AI dialogue. People had a lot of expectations on that, and people are going to say it's a good start. And even though maybe no real achievement showed up after the dialogue, it's still a good signal. I think this time has been changed a lot, and it is a new era because the capability of models increased a lot during the past 2 and 3 years. So we face the agents, we face the very frontier models. They can do the things we can't imagine back to the old days. So the global AI governance, especially innovative governance, need innovative ideas. And firstly, it should be proposed by the two leaders and the high-ranking officials. Then the attractive dialogue will say, okay, we have the confidence to doing so. So I think in this context, I have to say I'm cautiously optimistic on this round of AI dialogue, because maybe competing and cooperation at the same time will be the new normal in our time. Because even though there are still the export control and the semiconductor restriction from the US side, and there are still some other problems between the two countries, like the cooperation channels between the two country scholars and the leading companies. But with the ground we have established, I think everything will be on the table and everything could be discussed. That will be a good signal. And the signal to the whole world is also significant because to the global AI governance, they need the stability and they need the two countries to give their confidence to the whole world to say, okay, we are trying to do something to prevent the very big crisis and the risks proposed by the frontier models. We are trying to figure out, don't worry about that. I think that signal is also important to the whole world. So before the meeting of the two leaders, I got to know a lot of media experts from the whole world. They are gathering to Beijing or waiting for the final news. And until yesterday, most of them, they are very happy to see that. And I also know in Geneva, in Singapore, many places, they have the think tanks try to link the US and Sino relationship in the domain of AI. They try to make the two countries to stand together to solve some problems. I think that could be a good sign for the whole world.
Exactly. Yeah, I also agree that it is an important signal to the whole world. Now, the final round of questions, I really want every one of you to speak in one sentence. What is the single most important principle that should guide China-US relations in the AI era? Maybe let's start from Professor Yao.
Okay, that could be competition will not be bad, but communication will always be good.
Okay, thank you. Communication is very important, of course. Yes, Professor Liu, please.
I'm going to say to the two governments that keep talking no matter what happens.
Yeah, that is an important sentence. Indeed, very powerful. And also Mr. Fu, please.
And I would say let AI safety to be the floor of dialogue, not the tool of confrontation or exclusion.
Thank you to our guests, Professor Yao Xu, Professor Lu Chuanying, and Mr. Fu Hongyu. Today's discussion reminds us that AI is reshaping not only technology and economics, but also strategic stability, industrial competition, and the broader relationship between major powers. Competition between China and the US will likely continue. But competition does not eliminate the need for communication, especially when increasingly capable technologies may affect global stability and shared security risks. In this context, governmental dialogue matters, but equally important are the conversations taking place among scholars, scientists, industrial experts, and the policy communities through tractual exchanges. If AI is becoming one of the defining technologies of this century, then maintaining channels of communication may itself become an important form of risk reduction. And thank you all for listening to Sino AI Insight. We'll see you next time.